I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. And let me go ahead and read verse 11 and verse 12. We better read verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Again, I want to continue on speaking, hopefully, to the deep things of God, is what I've entitled it. And I said it last week, that word, deep things, is one word, and it means deepness, or depths. The depths of God. And there are no depths of God outside of Jesus Christ that we will ever know. That's where we have knowledge. That's where we are given knowledge. Our knowledge of the Father comes from knowing the Son. And that knowledge is given to us by His Spirit. We don't make it up on our own. We don't dig it up on our own. It is what freely given to us. Walter said something while we were out after service last week that I'm going to share with you because it is very good. And Walter, I think I sort of said this last week, but the way he put it is very pertinent, very to the point. Okay? Just because we're talking about the depths of God, the Spirit searches all the deep things of God, doesn't mean that there are shallows of God. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The problem anywhere around there is with us. We may not perceive the depths, but that doesn't mean the depths aren't there. And the Spirit searches it all. There are no shallows. No matter what others say, we did continue on. We were talking about, and I had forgotten almost about that, Walter. There are people that we know, some of whom we are related to, or were related to, who have this idea that salvation's easy. Salvation's easy. Now, what do you do afterwards? That's what I want to hear. All you got to do to be saved is just believe. That's easy. No, it's not. It takes the power of God. You know? It doesn't. It's not your believing. It's His faith. His faith leads to your believing. It's not the other way around. And it's almost like, it reminds me of that rich young ruler when Christ spoke to him and he said, the rich young ruler says, what do I do to be saved? Christ looked at him and says, keep the law. And the rich young ruler replied to him, well, I've done that. And I remember Henry Mahan something, give me something hard to do. I've done all that since my youth. No, you haven't. And these people think there's an easy believism that you come forward to an altar and make a profession and you say those words and everything's okay. Now what do I do? Well, no. There's depths to salvation that they haven't even scratched. There are no shallows. There is only the depths of God. But it's like Paul here. There are people who believe, particularly supposed to be, young in the faith believers who only see the surface things. there is a surface. It's not that they're shallows, but it's all that we don't always see the depths that are there. But those depths are there. The gospel of Christ, Jesus, and Him crucified is at the same time simple and profound. There's more to it than the world will ever know. But on the surface, it is simple. He came, He died, He lived perfectly, He shed His blood, He offered it to God, and God has accepted Him, and God raised Him from the dead. It's easy when you state it like that, but when you start going into details as to what that actually entails, and that He's been prophesied for thousands of years before He ever got here, and He perfectly fulfilled everything that was prophesied about Him, and the depths that go in to where you can say that God, who is too holy to look upon sin, can look upon you now and me now and say, I love you. You're holy in my sight. In His Son we are. The gospel of Christ has never changed. The truth of Christ has never changed. Our perception, our comprehension, our understanding changes. Hopefully, it gets better, not worse. But the gospel never changes. I see now more than I ever have in the Scriptures, Mason, in my life. In the gospel and in Christ. Paul explains this difference at the beginning of the next chapter when he says to these Corinthian believers, the one he's talking to right here, and he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. And neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For there, whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? There is a difference between the milk and the meat. There's a difference. It's not that it's shallow. It's just that it's the surface. And some people can only handle so much. The problem's with us. It always has been with us. The Spirit knows all the depths of God and Christ. But Paul told them at that time they couldn't handle it. But yet he continues on in verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Who knows the things of a man? The Spirit of man. How do we know? Well, in bad English, we are us. That's who we are. Man knows the things of man. Man knows his emotions, his thoughts, his feelings. Man knows his lusts, or he should, even when he denies them. Man knows his stubbornness, even when he pretends his compliance. They call it passive-aggressive nowadays. You can not budge while appearing to be compliant. The spirit of man is corrupt. It is cursed. And the spirit of man is our very own. It's us. The spirit of man does not know the things of the Spirit of God. This is just a plain statement. The spirit of a man can only know the things of the spirit of man. Excuse me. But the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God knows the things of God. And the Spirit of God alone knows the things of God. The spirit of man can't. It's impossible. It is impossible. He goes on to say that later on in the chapter. What does this mean, that the Spirit of God alone knows the things of God? It means that the things of God have never entered the heart of man. That's verse 9. See, herein's the difference between knowing and not knowing the things of God. The Spirit of God knows. We naturally do not. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The difference here is being shown in here is between the heart of man and the Spirit of God. Not the heart of man, the natural man, and the heart of a saved man. It's the heart of man and the Spirit of God. Unless you have been given the Spirit of God, you will never know anything about the things of God. That's where the difference lies. Now, you are given a new heart. You are given a new nature. But how does that nature come? It comes by the Spirit of God giving life. It comes when you believe, you being sealed by the Spirit. And the Spirit who has been with you is now dwelling in you. But you still don't get no credit for that. You never get any credit for that. Because it's not you. It's the Spirit of God in you. This is what I meant when you see that two natures in Romans 7. And Paul talks about it. And Paul talks about how I am carnal, sold under sin. And the law is spiritual. Here's how the difference is. It's not you. It's the Spirit of God in you. Christ is in you. The hope of glory. This is where the difference is. Verse 12 says, now we have received. Right now we have received. Not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now we have received. It's not speaking of the future. Although the future is not going to change. If you have the Spirit of God now, you're going to have the Spirit of God forever. We are kept by the power of God through faith. We don't keep ourselves. Right now, in this world, walking around, we have received His Spirit. What a glory that is. What a wonderful, wonderful, glorious thing that is. And guess what? This is one of those things that was prepared before the foundation of the world, that the world knows nothing about. It was revealed, it was unveiled to us by the Holy Spirit. It was given to us by the Holy Spirit. Because right now we are receiving some of the things God has prepared for us before the foundation of the world. This is about believers, make no mistake about it, and no one else. This is not an election thing or a reprobate thing. This is a thing of who has the Spirit of God now. Now. who believes God now. Now we have received the Spirit which is of God. Not the spirit of the world. He says that plainly. Let's be clear, it's not that we don't have the spirit of the world or the spirit of man, or that we don't know the spirit of the world. We do. But we didn't receive it from God. That was all our own. There was a time when the only thing we knew was the spirit of the world. But believers, the regenerate, have received a new thing, a new person. And with it comes a new perception, a new comprehension, and a new understanding. It is the Spirit which is of God. We believers, those that love Christ, have received the Spirit of God now. In this time, we have received Him. Like I said, the contrast is laid out clearly. It's not laid out as the difference between the heart of a man and the heart of a saved man, or even between the old nature and the new nature. Here it is shown between the heart of man and the Spirit of God. The fountain, the source, is the Spirit of God. The receptacle, the container of the truth, is not you. It's also the Spirit of God. Paul is stating plainly that believers have received His Spirit. And we don't have the Spirit because we know the truth. We know the truth. We know the things of God because we have been given His Spirit. You can't put the cart before the horse. You don't come and pray, Walter, at that hump in the floor, to get the Spirit. Hopefully, the Spirit causes you to cry out unto God. That's the proper order. You don't know who you're praying to if you don't have the Spirit. You don't know what you're praying if you don't have the Spirit. Because the natural man, he goes on to say, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. And we have received the Spirit which is of God. For what purpose? That we might know. That. Our express purpose here. Our receiving of His Spirit, our being given His Spirit, is for an express purpose, Paul relating here. God has things prepared for those that love Him. We have received for the express purpose the Spirit of God for the purpose of knowing Him. Knowing Christ. And thereby in Christ, knowing the Father and the Spirit. His Spirit. Now I do realize it says that we might know. But that's the old English might. It's not we might and we might not. If you want to, you can use it the same way as you say that we shall know. You're going to know Christ if you've received the Spirit of God. There's no doubt about it. If you have received His Spirit, you shall know. Saints know. Believers know. Them that love God know. Them that love Christ know. And this word here, know, means to perceive by seeing and all other senses. Not just seeing, but perceiving, understanding. And we understand who we are seeing and hearing of. You understand, I've said it before, I'll say it again. In this world, believers are the only ones who can see the things of the spirit of man and the things of the spirit of God. If there hasn't been a change in you, in your perceptions, in your seeing, in your hearing, to where you hear things you didn't used to hear, you start to understand things you never did understand before, and you see Christ where you never saw Christ before, you need to make your calling and election sure. Because if there has not been a change in you to where you can see the things of man and the things of God, that's what we've been given, to know Him. We already knew us. Matter of fact, when He starts to work in you, you start to know more about yourself than you ever want to know. You start to know things about yourself that you've been denying for a long time, but they were there anyway. But He doesn't leave you in that. He brings you to know Him, that we might know we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. We see the world around us, and we perceive and understand the works of the Spirit of God, because we get to see both. We already had the one Spirit, and now we have received the Spirit which is of God. And we are the ones with the war in our members, flesh and spirit, contrary to each other. We have both. And because the Spirit which is of God, we know. You start with the milk, but God willing and Spirit teaching, you start to see the depths and you get the meat. Well, what do we know? The things that are freely given to us of God. All the truth that we know is the gift of God given to us. It is really that simple. You have nothing which you have not received, as far as the things of God are concerned. We don't get anything or obtain anything. We are given everything concerning the things of God. Now, because of that, God will work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. There are things to do. There are things you want to do. There are things you're pleased to do. There's things I wish I could do, but I can't. But anything we have, anything we do, is because it has been freely given to us by God. By His Spirit, which He has given to be in you all believers. If you know Christ, it's because you've been given to know Christ. And that goes for the milk and the meat. That goes for the surface and the depths. The Spirit knows them all. What was it? Let me see. John 14, talking about the Comforter. Verse 16, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Why? "Because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." We have been given the Spirit, His Spirit, the Spirit of God. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Then over in verse 26, same chapter 14, John 14. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he what shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. There's a lot of Pentecostals need to learn that. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak of himself. That's what Christ said. It's plain. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And verse 14, he, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, Jesus Christ. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The Spirit gives the knowledge of Christ to the believer. He glorifies Christ. The Father said, he's my beloved son. What? My well-beloved son. Hear him. We know the things that are freely given to us by God, by his Spirit. It's never entered the heart of man, and it never will enter the heart of man. But it has entered man when the Spirit enters man. We know because the Holy Spirit knows. He searches out all the things of God, and then he takes the things of Christ and he shows them to us. Romans 8 and 9 says that, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, right now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's how serious this is. There is no other way. There is no other way. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that life is given to us by his Spirit, which he sent to us to give us life. And the Spirit teaches us the things of Christ. We do study. We do study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. But we only see, hear, learn, and comprehend or understand because it is his Spirit knows the depths of God. His Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them to you. He reveals them to us. It has to be freely given. Why? A, we don't deserve it. B, we don't want it. And naturally, we won't have it. I mean, I know exactly what in that parable when he's talking, and he says, those people cried out, we will not have this man to reign over us. Because that's what it means to know Christ. You will have this man to reign over you. You will be, if you want to put it that way, you will be run by the Spirit of God. And you will be happy to have it so. There's a change. There's a change. It's not always wonderful. It's not always great. as far as my circumstance or my feelings. But oh, what a wonderful change it is. What a great change it is. To where I know Him. I know Christ. My circumstances are my circumstances, and I deal with them as best I can. But my circumstances don't really get in the way of my joy in Christ. He's the joy of my life. By the Spirit of God. Before I started, I didn't even know enough about the things of God to realize any of this existed. We can't earn it, and naturally, like I said, we don't want it. It has to be freely given to us. That's the only way we could get it. It has to be unearned, unmerited favor, work of God. Because the only thing that is complete about the natural man is that we're completely dead spiritually toward God in trespasses and in sins. And thereby, actually, if you're on the truth, the other thing that's complete is our ignorance of the things of God. Even with our education and possibly even with great intellects, we do not naturally realize the existence of the true things of God. All we have is wonderful thoughts, or not so wonderful thoughts. But Paul, all those things, those thoughts I had was altogether vanity. That's all I ever had before was vanity. The imaginings of my own mind. But God has revealed them. It has freely given to us to know the things that are given to us by God. This is how we know the flesh and the spirit. Today, not just in our past, this is how we know the law is spiritual and I am carnal. We are freely given to know Him by His Spirit. And by His Spirit we are given to know the Son. And through the Son we know the Father. And through the Son, through the Father, we know this has all been given to us by His Spirit. By His Holy Spirit. It's a gift. The life of God given to man is a gift. From beginning to end, it has been freely given. Freely to us. It cost Christ a great deal. There was a debt to be paid. But since that debt was completely and totally paid by Jesus Christ, we can be and are freely given all things. We are given all spiritual blessings in Christ. He paid the debt. He paid everything that was owed. Thereby, because of that, we can be freely given all things. We are freely given to know. We are freely given to live. We are freely given life. It is His gift which He has prepared for us even before the foundation of the world. Even the depths of God. And right now it's still not up to us. I said it. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready before prepared. Ready to be revealed at the last time. By His Spirit, we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for everything you have done for us by your Spirit. All that you have taught us of your Son, that you have given to us to know, that you have revealed to us to see, to hear, and to understand. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.